Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnarled Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Reasons to Vote for Democrats, A Comprehensive Guide by Michael J. Knowles is a political satire published in 2017 that became widely known for an unusual premise. It is largely an empty book, across 266 pages. The text is intentionally blank, except for framing material that treats the Democratic Party's record as if it were being exhaustively argued in favor of, while actually inviting the reader to recognize the opposite through irony. The book is not a conventional policy analysis, but a parody of partisan publishing and political persuasion. Its chapter headings point to major issue areas such as economics, foreign policy, civil rights, education, homeland security, energy, jobs, crime, immigration, and values, making the absence of content itself the joke, because of that structure. The book works both as a media stunt and as a political statement about contemporary polarization, rhetorical excess, and the commercialization of political identity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a satire built around the deliberate absence of argument. The defining feature of the book is that it withholds the very material its title promises. Rather than presenting a case for Democrats, it turns blank pages into the entire point of the work. That inversion is what makes it satire. The reader is meant to notice the gap between the grandiose cover claim and the absence of substance inside. This structure mocks political books that inflate certainty while offering shallow talking points. By making the page count itself part of the joke, Knowles uses form as argument. The book suggests that partisan debate often relies on performance, branding, and repetition more than genuine evidence. The emptiness is therefore not simply a gimmick. It functions as a critique of political messaging that substitutes packaging for persuasion. As a result, the reader is pushed to ask not what the book says, but why a book like this can still become culturally visible and commercially successful. Secondly, how the chapter headings parody issue-based campaign messaging, although the pages are blank. The chapter titles organize the satire around familiar political battlegrounds: economics, foreign policy, civil rights, education, homeland security, energy, jobs, crime, immigration, and values and principles. These headings matter because they mirror the standard checklist used in campaign literature and ideological manifestos. The book borrows the structure of a serious policy primer, then empties it out, implying that modern political branding often reduces complex public questions to slogans. Each chapter name signals an area where voters expect clear positions, but the lack of content denies those expectations. That denial is central to the humor, yet it also highlights how compressed and symbolic political communication can become. Instead of debating actual policy details, the book frames public argument as a contest of labels and tribal cues. Readers familiar with partisan messaging will recognize that the joke works only because the headings correspond to topics where voters usually demand concrete answers. The satire depends on that shared political vocabulary. Thirdly, commercial success as part of the joke. The book's success on Amazon is an important part of its meaning. A blank satirical volume becoming a bestseller illustrates how online marketplaces reward novelty, controversy, and viral attention as much as traditional literary merit. In that sense, the book is not only mocking Democrats or partisan commentary, it is also exposing the economics of attention in modern publishing. People bought it partly because it was funny, partly because it was provocative, and partly because it was widely discussed. That makes the book an example of how political satire can function as an event rather than just a text. Its visibility was amplified by media coverage, public reactions, and even a presidential endorsement, which further blurred the line between joke, political signal, and consumer product. The commercial response matters because it shows that the market for political identity is itself part of the performance. The book becomes a comment on the ease with which symbolism can be monetized when partisan recognition is strong enough. Fourthly, a political statement about polarization and ideological shorthand, beyond the humor. The book reflects a broader climate in which political identity is increasingly communicated through shorthand rather than deliberation. By presenting an empty defense of Democrats, it implies that partisan allegiances are often so fixed that a title alone can trigger agreement or outrage. The book works because readers already know the stereotypes and assumptions attached to the Democratic Party. It relies on that shared awareness to turn blankness into commentary. In this way, the satire points to polarization as a cultural condition people are expected to react to party labels before examining policy substance. The book does not attempt to persuade undecided voters through reasoned evidence, and that refusal is itself part of its critique. It suggests that in a highly polarized environment, ideological identity can become detached from detailed discussion of actual governance. The satire is therefore less about one party than about the broader habit of treating politics as a contest of symbols, reflexes, and team loyalty. Lastly, why the book remains memorable within political satire. The book stands out because it uses radical minimalism rather than elaborate wit. Many political satires rely on exaggerated characters, mock research, or layered essayistic arguments, but this one reduces the entire format to silence. That simplicity gives it durability as a cultural example because the concept is instantly graspable and easy to repeat. It is often remembered not for pages of content, but for the audacity of being almost entirely empty, while still presenting itself as a comprehensive guide. That contrast makes it a useful case study in the power of packaging, irony, and publicity in contemporary political publishing. It also demonstrates that satire can be effective even when it does not provide a detailed counterargument, as long as the form itself communicates the intended message. The book's lasting relevance comes from how clearly it captures a moment when media attention, partisan branding, and online outrage could convert an obvious stunt into a widely discussed publication. Its emptiness is what made it distinctive, not a limitation that prevented its success. In conclusion, Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a comprehensive guide, is best read by readers interested in political satire, media studies, partisan branding, and the mechanics of attention in modern publishing. It is especially useful for people who want to understand how a concept, rather than a conventional argument, can drive a book's cultural impact. The main benefit of reading it is not informational depth about democratic policy, but insight into how political communication, irony, and marketability intersect. It also offers a practical example of how form can be used as critique. The blank pages are the message, compared with typical political books, which often try to persuade through data, anecdotes, or ideological framing. This one distinguishes itself by refusing to supply the expected content at all. That refusal makes it memorable and easy to analyze as a media object. For readers who appreciate satire, it illustrates how humor can expose the habits of partisanship, the appetite for controversy, and the commercialization of political identity. For critics of modern political discourse, it serves as a compact symbol of how spectacle can outweigh substance. If you would like to support Michael J. Knowles, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.